For the second to last time, we are looking at Luke's Gospel. I'm going to read it, we'll pray, and then we'll get into it. It's Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 49. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy, they were marveling. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And that's God's word. Let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is alive. We thank you that he was seen by many, many people who were willing to go to die for that belief. We thank you that he speaks peace and that he sends the church through the apostles out to preach the gospel of repentance and forgiveness, and that we're here in 2021 because of it. Bless us now, O Lord, as we hear your word preached. May we know you better, may we love you more, and may we obey you more as we go about our Christian walk. And may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have 3 points. Jesus appears, Jesus explains, Jesus sends. Jesus appears, Jesus explains, Jesus sends. Jesus appears. Verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." The Lord Jesus speaks peace to these disciples. This is the second time Luke has mentioned this. You may remember the last time we looked at Luke's gospel, we looked at the disciples on the Emmaus Road, Cleopas and his companion. And it says they were talking about what had happened, and Jesus himself walked alongside them. And they had the scriptures explained to them. And they went back to Jerusalem. And they told the disciples what had happened. And as they were talking about it, Jesus himself stood among them. Let that be a lesson to us. When you talk to your Christian friends, talk about the things of Jesus. Because you never know what blessings might come when you do. You know, they didn't expect to see Jesus. All right, we won't see him physically, but he'll be with us by the Holy Spirit. So yes, make sure you talk about the things of God. And let's look now at what Jesus says. Jesus appears and he says to them, "Peace to you." He bids them peace. That word in the Bible is beautiful. It means so much more than peace in the sense that we use now, which means absence of conflict or wars over. Peace in the Bible means wholeness and fulfillment and every blessing that God could bless you with, salvation and all the other things that God is so good to give us. You wish that on the person when you say, "Peace. Peace to you." And it's very, very important to see what this means. Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he says, "Peace." These disciples, only a few days before, had abandoned Jesus. It's Sunday. If it is Sunday, which I think it is, when this happened, it was only a few days before Thursday night that Jesus had been on his own praying in the garden, and a group of soldiers came to take him away, and all his disciples fled. Peter then went on to deny him three times, and only John went to the cross with him. None of his closest friends, apart from John, were there in his darkest hour. They'd turned away, they'd run, they'd heard him preach this, he told them three times in the Gospels that he would die, how he would die, what would happen. They didn't believe, and when it did happen, they fled. They ran away. They broke their promises. They didn't keep their word. They betrayed their friend. And Jesus said, "Peace to you. Peace to you." And even now, he says, "Peace to you." He knew their hearts. They were frightened. They were startled. They couldn't believe it. Jesus had told them he would rise again. And when he shows them, they don't believe it. They think it's a spirit. And then later on, they disbelieve for joy. They're confused. They can't believe what's happened. And Jesus speaks peace to them. No harsh rebuke. No bringing up of the past. None of that. Just grace. Just grace and peace and kindness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop Ryle, in his commentary on this, says, "In his infinite heart, there is an infinite love. He is more ready to forgive than we are to be forgiven, and more willing to pardon than we are to be pardoned." That's beautiful, isn't it? And Jesus speaks that peace into a situation of confusion and fear. And Jesus speaks the same to us in our period of confusion and fear. The COVID-19 pandemic, Jesus says to us, "Peace to you. Peace to you." He is the Prince of Peace. Came to bring peace between us and God and with each other. And interestingly, he doesn't rebuke the disciples for their disbelief. He doesn't say, "Look, I told you, just believe." He gives further evidence. He says, "Touch me. I'm not a spirit, I'm not a ghost. Touch me." You can't touch a spirit. I'm flesh and bones, just like you. And then he eats breakfast, just to give them further confirmation that it is him, that he has physically been raised from the dead, that he's conquered death, his sacrifice is accepted. It's over, it's done. What grace, what kindness, what tenderness there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace to you. And he keeps saying it. He keeps wishing that on them because of how he behaves. Point two, Jesus exclaims, verse 44, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus explains. Jesus now helps them understand what has happened. Yes, Jesus had told them, again, three times, in different circumstances, that he would die. He'd given them the Lord's Supper, he'd given them the long sermon and prayer that we read in John's Gospel. And he had now fulfilled, completed, that's what fulfilled means, completed, everything that had been written about. So he wants them to understand. But notice, Jesus points them to Scripture. You know, Jesus could have just said, I'm here. I've done it. Believe. But no, he points them to Scripture. Philip Ryken in his commentary says, he wanted them to believe because of what Scripture said. He wanted their faith to be based on Scripture, not on their experience. And that's how our faith should be, based on Scripture, not on our experiences. That's the reverence that Jesus had for Holy Scripture. His resurrection, he wanted them to believe it, not because of what they saw, not just because of what they saw, but because of the Word of God. That's the reverence, the obedience, the trust that Jesus had in God's Word. And he pointed them and he said, everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The prophets and the Psalms, the Jewish people and the Christians order the Old Testament differently. That's the way Jesus describes it there. That's the way the Jewish people order the Old Testament in their Bibles. And then it says, he opened their hearts to understand Scripture and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. His person and his work, who Jesus is and what he's done, is the theme of the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament is the seed, the New Testament is the flower. The Old Testament is the shadow, the New Testament is the reality. But that reality, that truth, it's Jesus. Everyone who is saved, from Abel in Genesis 4, all the way to the last person who will be saved before Christ comes, is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, through his life, death, and his resurrection, to the glory of God alone. Because Jesus completes, fulfills the whole Bible. He is the center of it. His person and his work is the message of the entire Bible. It's all about Jesus. So whenever you read the Bible, Old or New Testament, ask yourself, how does this point me to the person and work of Jesus Christ? Because every command, Jesus obeyed perfectly, and every command, he died for our breaking of it. So everything points to him. The Sabbaths, the feasts, the festivals, the sacrifices, the priests, the temple, all of it pointed forward And now in the church, we point back to it because Christ is the centre of it all. And he wanted the disciples, he preached, I suppose, the first Easter sermon, and he preached from the scriptures what was going on right in front of their eyes. And he did it all by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what verse 45 means. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Let's be clear. You can understand the Bible in the sense that you can read the words and it makes sense. But to understand scripture spiritually takes the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. So even in his resurrected state, right in front of them, the disciples needed the word opened up to them by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of Jesus to understand it. They needed their hearts and their minds opened by the Holy Spirit. And they had the best teacher to do it, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they did understand. Like the disciples in the Emmaus Road, it doesn't say it, but they may have felt their hearts burn within them because then they understood. Then they understood. And then the third point, Jesus sent. Just quote that verse again, verse 46, and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And behold, you are witnesses to all these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus sends them out. He'd done it before, but this was different. This was to all nations, starting at Jerusalem. Again, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jerusalem, the city that had just killed him. City with people wanting him dead. The religious authorities, the secular authorities, the puppet king that the Roman Empire had. They all wanted him dead. And he said, them who did that to me, go and preach to them. Go and preach to them. Forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Repentance. And forgiveness of sins. Repentance is the important aspect because they just sinned terribly. They must repent. Repentance, remember, we looked at it last year, but I'll quote the definition I gave to you. Repentance is a saving grace by which a sinner, being truly aware of his sinfulness, understands the mercy of God in Christ, grieves for and hates his sin, and turns from sin to God, fully intending and striving for new obedience. The first command Jesus gave in the Bible when he preached, repent. First command John gave in his preaching, repent. When he told the disciples earlier on in the Gospels to go out and preach, he told them, repent. And then after he commissions them, after he's been raised from the dead, he tells them to repent. The message of the Old Testament, again, the message isn't different. Over and over again, the prophets called Israel to repent. Adam and Eve were told in the garden to repent. God called them and said, what have you done? He was trying to bring them to repentance, trying to show them what they'd done, and bring them to a place where they could confess and forsake their sins. Repentance is so important. But we have to remember also, we're not forgiven. We don't get forgiveness because of our repentance. We get forgiveness because Jesus Christ died and rose again. Repentance is wedded to faith. Repentance is wedded or married to faith. They go together. Two sides of the same coin. We empty-handedly cling to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. And in his name, we get forgiveness of sins. In his name, we get a new start. In his name, beginning at Jerusalem, for hundreds, for 2,021 years, we've heard the Christian message that Christ is Lord and that he died to save. That's how it's always been. Repent. And he tells them also in sending them, he sends them, but he sends them to wait. The promise of my Father is coming. You can read about that in Acts chapter 2, which Luke wrote. The reason we meet on the first day of the week, as I've mentioned over and over again, is it's the day Christ rose. It's the day God began creation. And because it's the day Christ rose, it's the day he began the new creation. But also on the first day of the week was the day of Pentecost, when God sent the Holy Spirit onto the church, baptized them, and gave them the power to preach the gospel to all nations. They all spoke in other languages. People from all over the world heard the apostles preaching the gospel in their own languages. That was the sign that this is for all nations. It's not just for Israel and the Jewish people. It's for everyone. It's a new start, a new beginning, the new covenant, the fulfillment of the old, and that now the horizons have been expanded. So Jesus tells them to wait, because even the work, even after seeing the resurrected Christ, as I said, they still need to depend on God. They need to depend on him more now, because this time they're going to do it properly. They're going to have the mighty power of the Spirit of God empowering them for obedience. So Jesus appears, Jesus explains, Jesus sends. What should we do with this? What applications are we going to make of this? First of all, as I've said, when you meet your friends, yes, talk about work, talk about hobbies, talk about Jesus. Build each other up in the holy faith. Get in touch with each other and ask how you're doing. And ask how you're getting on spiritually. I'm struggling. Or can I tell you this? That happened when I was reading the Bible. Because Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, will be with you and will fellowship with you and delights in it. Another point, be gracious and patient with people. You know, these disciples had been with Jesus for years. They'd heard him preach. He told them what would happen. And probably had a ton of conversations that aren't recorded in the Bible. But Jesus was patient with them. And he built them up and he was kind. Let us be like that with each other. When we read the Bible or when we hear it preached, come with a prayerful heart. Come with a prayerful heart. Pray, prepare to hear preaching through the week. Prepare. Think about last week's sermon and think about it through the week as a means of preparing for hearing the next sermon. Because we need to have our minds opened to understand the scriptures. I need that, and you need that. So pray. Be praying for me and Martin as we preach. And be praying that you would understand, that you would love, and that you would obey what God is saying. Pray, and pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the beautiful prayer that Jesus wants us to pray. It's in Luke's Gospel. I can't remember when we preached on it, but I remember that I did preach on it. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Look at the encouragement Jesus gives. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So yes, Christians have the Spirit. We're baptized into the church. But ask God to fill you with his Spirit so you are empowered to walk the Christian life, to understand Scripture, to obey him and to love him. And finally, let's remember that as Jesus sent the apostles, he sends us. The world needs Jesus Christ. It's been a very sad week on the news. Another very sad week. The world is looking for answers to the big questions. It's running away from God, but it's looking for answers. We know who the answer is. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks peace. So let your light shine. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven by your holy lifestyle. And they'll come to faith through seeing something different in you and through godly conversations. Share the gospel of Jesus, because the world needs Christ. The world needs to hear him say, peace to you. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his grace, his tenderness, his kindness, his patience. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who opens our minds and our hearts to understand the word and makes us willing to apply it to our lives. We thank you for the glorious gospel, that we are forgiven, that all our sins are cast away, and that we have it because of you. And we pray, O Lord, that you'd give us more faith, more repentance, more of your Holy Spirit, and more of his fruit in our lives, that we may glorify you, and that men would see our good works, the light that shines through us, and so give you glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.